Greetings in Jesus' name. It's a blessing to be here. Since I have been redeemed. How many of us thought about that song as we were singing those words? Page was that again? 657, sorry. I have a song I love to sing of my Redeemer, Savior, King, since I have been redeemed. I have a Christ who satisfies to do his will my highest prize. Since I have been redeemed. That's worship. To do God's will, to have that as our highest priority. That's a form of worship. I have a witness bright and clear, dispelling every doubt and fear, since I have been redeemed. I have a home prepared for me, where I shall dwell eternally, since I have been redeemed. Amen. Have you been redeemed? That's the title of my message this morning. Can we just pause for a word of prayer? Father, we again just come to you this morning. Lord, we choose at this moment to just again open our hearts to allow you to speak to us. Lord, we know that we are the only ones that can open our hearts. Nobody else can do it for us. And Lord, I pray that you would help each person that's here to just open their hearts to your word and to allow you to speak to us as we look at your word and what you say about being redeemed. Lord, I pray that you would guide my thoughts, give me clarity, help me to just come across in a clear way that everybody can understand it, and that we could all go home encouraged and challenged to look at our own lives and see where we're at with you. So Lord, guide and direct us. Just pray that your spirit would have the preeminence here this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Once there was a little boy who made a toy sailboat. He carefully carved the hull from a block of wood and painted it blue. Then he fitted it with a mast and sails. When it was finished, he decided to try it on the lake in the city park. It was a beautiful day. The boy tied a cord to the front of the boat and set it in the water. The wind caught the sail and hurried the boat away. Soon the boat came to the end of the cord, but a puff of wind blew so hard that the cord broke, and the boat sailed away toward the far side of the lake. The boy cried, but the boat was gone. Several months later, as the little boy was walking through the city streets, he passed a pawn shop. There in the window was his sailboat. It was scratched and dirty, and the sails were torn, but it was definitely his own boat. Someone had found the boat and sold it to the pawn shop owner. Now it had a price tag of $2 on it. The boy hurried home and gathered up all his money. He hurried back to the shop and bought the boat. He took it home, cleaned it, and gave it a fresh coat of paint and a new sail. Then, as he looked happily at it, he said, "Little boat, you are twice mine. I made you, and I bought you." The story is a beautiful illustration of what God did for us. He made us, and we were lost. He found us and bought us back. That's a very simple description of being redeemed. The Webster's 1828 dictionary says that redeemed or redeem means to purchase back, to ransom, to liberate or rescue from captivity or bondage, or from any obligation or liability to suffer or to be forfeited by paying an equivalent. To repurchase what has been sold, to regain possession of a thing alienated by repaying the value of it to the possessor. To rescue, to recover, to deliver from. To compensate, to make amends for. To free by making atonement. To pay the penalty of. To save. To perform what has been promised. To make good by performance. In theology, to rescue and deliver from the bondage of sin and the penalties of God's violated law by obedience and suffering in the place of the sinner, or by doing and suffering that which is accepted in lieu of the sinner's obedience. Have you been redeemed? You know, as I was pondering the last couple weeks about what to share here this morning, my thoughts kept going to the subject of trusting God, and that's what I was planning to share on, but I trust that God knew what he was doing. That would have been more of an encouraging message, and I think what Joe shared this morning was very good. Gives us some encouragement, some comfort. But as I went to prepare Friday evening, I just opened my heart to the Lord and was just praying and asking him what he would want me to share. And just very clearly he laid this on my heart that I should talk about being redeemed. So I want to do that this morning with God's help. We're just going to be looking at a lot of scripture. There's lots of scriptures that talk about being redeemed and redemption, what Christ did for us. So first of all, we're going to look at why do we need a redeemer? If we don't need a redeemer, what's the purpose of being redeemed? So we'll look at why we need a redeemer. The number one reason that we need a redeemer is because we're human. Now, most of you have probably heard that term, probably fairly often. And sometimes when we do something we know we shouldn't, we like to maybe excuse ourselves and say, well, we're just human. Well, that's not what I'm talking about this morning. I'd like to look at a few different points of what does it mean to be human. And some of these points were things that I gleaned from a book that I was reading called Redemption, written by Mike Wilkerson. The first point here says, to be human is to be created. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. We all know that God created all things. He created the trees, the water, birds, animals. Everything around us has the stamp of God's design on it. And then he created man in his image. And that's our second point. To be human is to bear the image of God. Genesis 1:26 says, then God said, Let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. To be made in the image and likeness of God means you are designed to represent God, to make him known, to reflect his glory like a mirror, to look like him. Do we look like God? Do we reflect God? Do we make him known to people around us? The third point, to be human is to worship. We reflect God's glory by our worship of him. To worship God means to hold him as the object of our deepest desires and as worthy of our imitation. Worship is not just singing songs in church. It's how we live our lives every moment of every day, every thought, word, deed, feeling, and desire. You worship what you live for. Whatever is most worthy of your attention and devotion. So I'd like to challenge us this morning. What are we worshiping as we go through life? What are the things that we're living for? The things that consume us every day. It is what drives you at the core, and it flows from the essence of who you are. Worship is something you can't turn off. To not worship is to not live. We are made to worship something or someone. It's like a garden hose stuck on full blast. You can aim it at the bushes, at the grass, at the pavement, at the car, but you can't stop the flow. It's just coming out. That's what worship is. It's coming out of our lives whether we like it or not. And it's up to us to direct that to the right place. The fourth point that I got out of that book was to be human is to long for shalom. The universal peace, harmony, and wholeness of God's original design of humankind and the whole earth are conveyed by the Hebrew word shalom in the Bible. The Strong's Concordance says, shalom, completeness, soundness, welfare, and peace. We have an inborn sense of shalom, a desire for completeness, a desire for soundness and peace. It is home, and we long to return. And that's why we need a Redeemer, because of ourselves, we are not complete. We don't have that soundness and that peace in our lives of ourselves. So that gives us just a little overview of what it means to be human. And as humans, we recognize that we are incomplete. We have needs. We have struggles. We have fallen from the grace of God and need help. We have a need for a Redeemer. We need someone to purchase us back, to ransom us, to rescue us from captivity, to deliver from sin, to pay the penalty of our sin, to save us. Those are some of the definitions of redeem. Turn with me to Galatians 5. I'm going to read a few verses there. Galatians 5, starting in verse 19. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So those are a number of reasons that we have a need for a Redeemer. Those are works of the flesh, things that before we were redeemed, those are some of the things that we found ourselves in, a lot of us. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 to 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So we were like that. But if we're here this morning and we've been redeemed, we can identify with verse 11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I have a little illustration here that I wanted to look at. Hopefully it will help us to kind of get a picture of what we looked like before we were redeemed. And if you're here this morning and you have not been redeemed, you'll probably be able to identify with some of this. And to do this, I'm going to need your help. I would like to have some ideas, some things that we face in life that we have a need for a redeemer. And I'll just mention a few. Pride, anger. I might write these on the board. So what are some other things that we can write down here that we're, what was that? Selfishness. Things that we're burdened down with before we're redeemed. Guilt. Others. Envy. My own way. Good. Fear. What was the other one? Carnal desires. Fear. Bitterness. Others. How about lust? Rebellion. Unforgiveness. Any others? Covetousness. Hit them all. Hate. That was the next on my list. Malice. How about lying? What was it? Idolatry. Okay, I think we'll stop with that. We could probably go on for a little while. So if we look at that list, and we imagine, excuse me, that this burden on this man's back is full of all these wicked things, and he's burdened down. He's going through life, and he's carrying all this stuff on himself, and he has no way to get rid of it. He's just burdened down with it. As you can see, he's going uphill. That must be a difficult climb. Let's turn to Ephesians 2. We're going to look at what it takes to get rid of that burden, that load that he's carrying, that load that all of us have carried at some point in life. Ephesians 2, starting in verse 1. "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So if we look at this huge burden that's on this person, there's nothing he can do of himself to get rid of that. He has no solution within himself. It is only through Jesus Christ. Verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." Verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world." What a dark picture that gives us. But we were there. No hope, and without God in the world. "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." So we see the need for a Redeemer, and we see the answer in that chapter. Jesus Christ is the only answer for that heavy load that we bear. Okay, moving on to the next point. What does the Bible say about redemption? And I have quite a list here of verses that I'm going to be reading, but it's not even going to scratch the surface. First of all, let's turn to Psalms 31. And you can feel free to follow along or just listen. We're going to be paging through quite a bit. Psalm 31, verse 5 says, "Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth." Psalm 71, 23. "My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed." So I don't know how you find it, but if I'm going through life and I just kind of forget that I've been redeemed, I tend to get bogged down with the cares of life, and there's just no song on my heart. But I've found that if I focus on God and just thank him for redeeming me and recognize that I'm a child of God, it puts a song on my heart, and it's a blessing. Psalm 107, verse 2. Verse 1 and 2. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." We were in the hand of the enemy, but we have been redeemed from that. Psalm 130, verse 1 to 8. Psalm 130, "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities." So there we see there's plenty of it. He is plenteous. With him is plenteous redemption. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. Starting in verse 1. "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior." That's a very comforting passage, a promise that he will be with us. If we've been redeemed, he has called us by our name, and we are his. And he will be with us through trials and whatever we go through. Isaiah 44, verse 22. "I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains. O forest, and every tree therein. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob, and glorified himself in Israel. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. Isaiah 51:11. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Another example, or another scripture that talks about the redeemed coming with singing and joy, having joy in our hearts. Isaiah 52:9. Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people, he hath redeemed Jerusalem. I was just blessed as I looked at some of these verses and realized that a lot of these passages talk about joy and singing along with redemption. And that was just a blessing to note that. Isaiah 62:10-12. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. Lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Don't you just like that? They shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. Sought out, a city not forsaken. Lamentations 3:55-58. Chapter 3:55. I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. Thou hast heard my voice. Hide not thine ear at my breathing, at my cry. Thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee. Thou saidst, fear not. O Lord, thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. Thou hast redeemed my life. O Lord, thou hast seen my wrong. Judge thou my cause. Now we're going to go to the New Testament and look at a few verses there. Luke 1:68-80. Luke 1:68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness, and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. Okay, Romans 3:21-26. Romans 3:21, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. For all have sinned." None of us in here can deny that fact. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we can be redeemed. Praise the Lord for that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." He is made unto us redemption. Galatians 3, verse 8 to 13. Galatians 3, verse 8, "And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." So here we see that if it wouldn't be for Christ, we would have to follow the law to a T in order to be saved. But Christ redeemed us from that, from the curse of the law. Verse 13, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us." He redeemed us from that, so that now we can live by faith. Verse 11 says, "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith." Okay, Galatians 4, verse 3 to 9. "Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage?" We'll talk a little bit about that later here, about turning again to the weak and beggarly elements and desiring to be in bondage. Ephesians 1, verse 3 to 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Again, just a passage that talks about Jesus being our Redeemer, having redemption through his blood. Colossians 1. Colossians 1, verse 10 to 23. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Wow. Praise the Lord. Titus chapter 2. Titus 2, 11 to 14. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Hebrews 9, 11 to 15. I'm not spending a lot of time on any of these passages simply because there's so many of them, but they all talk about the same thing, really. Jesus Christ as our Redeemer. Hebrews 9, 11 to 15. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Did you catch that? Eternal redemption. He did it once, but it was for our eternal redemption. We don't have to wait till he does it again so that we can, if we if we fall and we, you know, we do something that we need his redemption or we need his forgiveness, we don't have to wait till he does it again. He did it once, and it was for our eternal redemption. Verse 13, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Wow. That's exciting. 1 Peter 1, verse 18 to 25. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So in verse 22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned or genuine love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. So if we're here this morning and we've been redeemed, we're called to love our brothers. We're called to love them with a genuine love and with a pure heart. Fervently. That's a blessing. Revelations 5, verse 7 to 10. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. All right, just a little illustration of being redeemed. Psalm 40, verse 1 to 3 gives us a picture of what it's like to be redeemed. Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. That's one of my favorite passages. It reminds me, whenever I think of it, it reminds me where I was and who brought me out of that, who redeemed me from that horrible pit and the miry clay. So this was just a fairly small list of verses, but talks a lot about redemption and being redeemed. But we haven't scratched the surface. I didn't know where to stop. There were so many verses that talk about our Redeemer and Jesus, what he did for us. And there would have been lots of examples of people in the Bible that we could have looked at for examples of people that were redeemed. So my next point here is, if you've been redeemed, why are you holding on to things of the past? If you've been redeemed, why are you holding on to the things of the past? Let's go back to Galatians 4, verse 9. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? So if we've been redeemed, why do we want to go back? Why do we want to hold on to the things that were back there and not just let go of them? Those are things in the past. We've been redeemed. God has forgiven us. Let's move on. If we look at the children of Israel, we can see that they wanted to go back to Egypt. Some of them did. Let's just turn to Numbers 11. Read a few verses there. Numbers 11, starting in verse 1. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses. And when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills, or beat it in a mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. So the children of Israel, they remembered some of the good food they had back in Egypt. And even though they were in slavery and their life was hard, they wanted to go back and have some of that fish and the leeks and the melons and the onions and garlics. They wanted to go back even though they knew life was hard there. If we've been redeemed from our past life, the bondage of sin and the guilt that we were carrying, why would we want to go back to that bondage again? There's nothing there that we want. 2 Peter 2. Read a few verses there. Second Peter 2, verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, They are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Now I trust none of us here wants to go back. We don't want to go back to our old life and live the way we used to live before we were redeemed. But you know, sometimes as we're going through life, we remember things that we used to do or whatever it might be, and we get that maybe just a slight desire to go back. But I just like to encourage us, let's not do that. Let's not go back. Let's keep pressing forward. Sorry about that. So where are we at as fathers, as husbands? Are we leading our homes, loving our wife? Or wives, where are you at when it comes to submitting to your husbands? Or what about youth? Where are you at? Are you able to give yourselves under the direction and authority of your parents? I'd just like to encourage us to think about where we're at in our walk of life. If we've been redeemed, we have much to live for. So my next point here is, what benefits do the redeemed have that the unsaved can't have? I wasn't sure how to word that, but what benefits do the redeemed have that the unsaved can't have? Now, I'd like to open it up again for input from you all. What are some things that we can experience in our daily lives that somebody that's not saved doesn't experience and can't experience? If we're redeemed and we're walking with the Lord, what do we have that someone that's not saved? Clear conscience. So I'm going to write these. Actually, first of all, I'm just going to hang this up here. So this man is not burdened down with anything. He is bounding uphill. He is free. He has been redeemed. He has lost his load. Okay, so a clear conscience was see if I can spell that. Well, we know what it means. Relationship with God. Joy. Peace. Hope. A new song. Amen. Faith in God. Eternal perspective, not just living for the moment. Fruit of the Spirit. Anchor of the soul. What was that? Agape? Love? Yeah. Amen. Paul, did you have one?
The freedom from sin, not only here, but I think that it's extended to the church. So say you're going to be free from sin up there. I cannot imagine sinners going to be free from their evil desires.
So freedom from sin. We'll just put freedom from sin for now. Are there others?
Love?
Purpose. We've got a purpose in life. Any others? How about freedom from the spirit of fear? Security. All right, I think we'll stop with that one. So if we look at the two, both of them have about the same amount of experiences. Which one would you rather experience? Going through life burdened down, or like that man, just being free to go through life and be free. Have you been redeemed? If you're here this morning and you can't connect with this list, the list that we just got done putting on the board, may I be so bold as to say that you haven't been redeemed? And if you've not been redeemed, what are you waiting for? Jesus stands at the door and he knocks. And he says that if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. What's holding you back? Is it the fear of man? Is there something in your life that you're afraid you won't be able to overcome? The way it was for me, I had many things in my life that I didn't want people to find out. You know, when we're in those things and we're not redeemed, we have this idea that somehow if I confess, if I say some of the sins that I'm into, people are going to reject me or people are going to look down on me. But that's not the case. If we're willing to confess those things, we can find freedom. We can find victory. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." There's wages for sin, and that's death. That's the death penalty. But God gives us the option of accepting a gift, a free gift. Ephesians 2:12 says that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Even if you think you're a good person, you won't get into heaven without a redeemer. We were all born with a sinful nature, and we need someone to take away our stony heart and replace it with a heart of flesh where God can dwell. Jesus is the only way. He is willing and he is able to save you. if you choose to repent and surrender your life to Him. If you're tired of carrying this burden on your back, just surrender. Just give it all to Jesus. He has already paid the price for your sins, and He is waiting for you to turn to Him for help. Please don't go through life carrying the guilt and shame that you've been carrying. If you have been redeemed, but you're here this morning with a weight on your chest because of something that maybe it's something that's happened in your life recently or whatever it might be, don't leave this place until you've taken care of it. Turn to Jesus. He is more than willing to forgive and cleanse your heart. Maybe someone did something that hurt you. Don't hold on to that hurt. It will drag you down. Maybe there's an area in your life that you're not having complete victory in. Or maybe it's an area that you've been following, that you haven't been following the commands of Christ like you should. Maybe submitting to your husband, or for the husbands, loving your wife. Whatever it is, Jesus is always happy to see us turn to Him and ask for help. Allow Him to cleanse you. Have you been redeemed? And if so, does the world know it? God bless you.